Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
This morning I'm going to keep it really simple. I just have four really, really simple questions for you this morning. So don't worry, no stress. I think we can all get on board with this. And I'm just going to kick things off before we jump into the passage by starting with my first question. That we're going to keep coming back to this through the sermon and through this morning. I want you to keep it in your head as we're going along. And it's, where is your heart at? Where's your heart at? No, not the Basement Jacks hit single from 2001. Where's your head at? Or where's your head at? But where is your heart at this morning? And as I said, I want you to keep this in mind through the preach, through the time of response this morning. And if you're really good, maybe you'll even have this question in mind through the week. Where is your heart at? So let's just dive straight into our passage here. So we're in Matthew 6. And we're looking at verses 1 to 4. And this is titled, Jesus Teaches About the Giving. It says this. Be careful. When you do something good, don't do it in front of others so that they will see you. If you do that, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to those who are poor, don't announce that you are giving. Don't be like the hypocrites. When they're in the synagogues and on the streets, they blow trumpets before they give so that people will see them. They want everyone to praise them. The truth is, that is all the reward they will get. So when you give to the poor, don't let anyone know what you're doing. Your giving should be done in private. Your Father can see what is done in private, and he will reward you. So if you've been following along for the past few weeks, yes, this morning we are back again where we left off in the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is Jesus' radical vision for how Jesus wants us to live as followers of him. Or there's a term we've used before, as apprentices of Jesus. So as followers or apprentices of Jesus, how do we respond to this vision of what the kingdom coming to earth looks like? Now, let's get one thing straight. This isn't a list of rules and regulations that we have to pass in order to live in God's kingdom or in relationship with him. But this is a way of living our lives in response to being a follower of Jesus. And this morning, that is a good job because it's pretty radical, no? It almost seems like this mad utopian, perfect world where actually these ideals are completely at odds with what the world says around us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart. We should be people of integrity. And yes, those little white lies count. Be people who are the first to reconcile when we're angry. Turn the other cheek. Not an eye for an eye or to take revenge. Love your enemies. And not only that, pray for them. This is Jesus' vision. This is how Jesus wants us to live as followers of him. And this morning is no different. We've read about and are going to look at a quiet generosity. A generosity that doesn't boast to friends or family or post about it online, but a generosity that comes from a Jesus-centered heart. This is Jesus' vision for his followers or apprentices. But before we dig any further into this passage, we need to start and look at the huge assumption that Jesus has made. Did you spot it? The assumption that Jesus has made is that as his followers, or that his followers will give to the needy. We read it right here in verse 2. So when you give to the needy, not if, when. As his followers, he is assuming that we are giving to the needy. So that this brings me my second question of the morning. Remember the first, which was, where is your heart at? But my second question this morning is, do we give? Do we give to those in need? Is Jesus' assumption correct? Jesus automatically assumes that we will give and do good works as a byproduct of being his followers. And maybe if we look at a little bit of the kind of culture and in look at Jewish religion in the day, we can kind of assume why he assumed this, and when we understand that that is who he is addressing. Now, at this time, giving to the needy was a huge part of Jewish culture. Giving to the needy, whether it be through monetary aid or giving time or sharing skills with those in need, was absolutely central. It was a highly religious and disciplined culture. And we can see this in the first two books of the Bible. Which are called the Torah. So in and this is what kind of the Jewish leaders and things out would have read and followed at the time. So we can read in Deuteronomy, we read this: "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you," we are commanded, "you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land." We even read in Leviticus, when the Israelites harvested their land, they were called to leave the edges, and when harvesting vineyards, not to strip it bare, because these should be left for the poor. They were commanded to give to the poor. And at the time, in the synagogue, or maybe in our terms like the church, in these times, it was absolutely central to supporting the poor at the time. It was all based on generosity. Those that had gave, whether it be time, money or skill, as it was seen as a sacrifice to God. But this isn't just a Jewish thing from centuries ago, or just an Old Testament thing that we don't have to think about anymore. As I said in the passage, Jesus assumes that his followers will give to the poor. In Mark, we read about the rich man who fell down in front of Jesus, asking him how he could enter heaven. And what does Jesus respond to him? We read this: "Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, 'You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.'" And in Luke 14, we read, Jesus says this: "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." In the book of Acts, we read about the early church, and we read that they were all believing together and had things in common, but they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. They were selling their possessions for those in need. And Paul, again, writing a letter to the early church in Corinth, we read this: "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Again, as followers and apprentices of Jesus, we are expected to give those in need. Jesus, in these verses, doesn't say if we give to those in need. He says when you give to those in need. Now, I love our church community, and seeing us come together to help those in need and kind of doing good works for each other is absolutely incredible. Seeing people share their possessions on the little WhatsApp group that we have, the share group, and seeing things pop up on there, and people being able to ask for help on there, and seeing so many people jump in and help out is amazing. We have people sharing the particular skills that they have. I know we have people that volunteer at food banks, job clubs. We have people giving money, and everyone who uses their skills to serve at church on a Sunday. It's incredible. So many people give so much. So please don't see the sermon this morning as a criticism. See this as a challenge. Do you give? And maybe you sat there thinking this morning, thinking, yeah, Dan, I do. Actually, I think I actually probably give a little bit more than you. Maybe you do. That's not the point this morning. We're going to come to that in a bit. But what areas could you challenge yourself in this morning? Maybe you're great at giving up your time or skills. You're really great at like reaching out to people and being there for people when they're in need. And that is amazing. Don't get me wrong. That is an incredible thing. But currently actually don't give regularly from a monetary sense to church or to the Give Big Sundays. We are called to give. All this money that we give to church goes to helping the church run and helping us reach those in need. Hiring the school, the job club, the school of discipleships, new church plants, the hardship fund, to outside ministries we want to support like the Oasis Centre in Gorton or supporting churches in Ukraine or orphanages in Iraq. It is all going to those in need and Jesus calls us to give. Or maybe actually you're on the other side of that coin. You are someone who already gives regularly from a monetary standpoint. Maybe your challenge is to give in a different way. Maybe you're someone who really struggles to find the time or reprioritize your time to be there for someone to have a chat or to cook for that person that needs a dinner. Maybe you could get out there, volunteer somewhere or help someone out with a skill that you have, serve in a new area on a Sunday. Again, Jesus calls us to give. Jesus assumes, again, as his followers, we are people that give our money, time, energy and skills to do good works for those in need. Is that assumption true of you this morning? Do we give? Now, if we look back in our passage, although Jesus has assumed that we do give, he does have a warning for us, though, because he knows what we're like as humans. Again, I'm just going to read the passage. Be careful when you do something good. So there's the warning. Be careful. When you do something good, don't do it in front of others that they will see you. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you do give to those who are poor, don't announce that you're giving. Don't be like the hypocrites. When they are in the synagogue and on the streets, they blow trumpets before they give so that the people will see them. They want everyone to praise them. The truth is, that is all the reward they will get. So although Jesus assumes that we will give, he wants to get right to the heart of our giving. Where are our hearts at? So my third question of this morning is, so remember we've got where's your heart at? Do you give? But who do we give for? Now, I think it's really good to be quickly, just be really clear about what Jesus isn't saying in this passage. So Jesus is warning about not doing good deeds or giving in front of others is definitely not saying don't give or don't do good works just in case someone sees you. And if we do good things, we should kind of do it behind closed doors and be really secretive about everything that we do. And if we're doing something good, we need to do everything possible to make sure no one finds out. We've just gone through the fact that Jesus is all for good works and giving. He is expecting us to give. Or you might be sat there thinking back to what Kiri took us through a few weeks ago in the passage about salt and light. And this is what we read in that passage. And this is found in Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. So, Jesus cannot possibly be saying that we need to keep all of our good deeds secret, because that would be completely at odds with what we read earlier in the sermon. And remember, this is the very same sermon that we're talking about. This is, although we've split this up into different weeks and different little bite-sized chunks, this is actually one big sermon that Jesus gave. So maybe this was just a few minutes ago in that same sermon. The key is right at the end of that verse. Live so they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. That is the key here, the crux of the matter. Does this glorify God? Are my motives behind what I am doing, glorifying God or glorifying me? Am I giving so that other people around me glorify me, or am I giving to give glory to God? Where is your heart at? Who do we do good works or give for? Because we read in the text, Jesus is calling out those who give for praise and recognition from the people around them, from the praise and recognition from the masses, from the praise and recognition of friends and family around them. We read this: when you give to those who are poor, don't announce that you are giving. And here it is: don't be like the hypocrites. When they are in the synagogues and on the streets, they blow trumpets before they give so that the people will see them. They want everyone to praise them. But the truth is, that is all the reward they will get. He is calling out the religious leaders at the time for their motives behind their giving. And again, Jesus is not saying that giving is bad. Giving is a good thing. But he is questioning the motive and their heart motive. He is questioning where their hearts are at when they are giving. They are giving to seek the approval of others. They're not doing it for the glory of God. They are giving in a fashion that glorifies themselves. Now, you might be sat here thinking, I would never do something like that. I've never had trumpets playing as I've come into church and put some money in the pot at the back. Or, you know what? I've never rolled out the red carpet when I've gone round somewhere and given someone dinner, or had, you know, people standing at either side of a path and applause as I came in with me curry for whoever next door. But let me ask you this. Are your motives always pure? When you really look at your motivation, are you doing something to seek the approval of others? Now, I can only speak for myself in this, but I would assume that most of us would share some similarities. Maybe it's just me, but my motives are not always pure. If I really drill down to it, they're not always pure, and they're not just for the glory of God. Even as someone who is not a massively externally motivated as a person, do I seek the approval of friends, colleagues, or family? Of course I do. I can honestly say that when I wake up in the morning, as hard as I try, I'm not automatically thinking that my only motivation for the day is the betterment of humankind and to grow God's glory. It's not always quite like that. We all seek the approval of others. It's like hardwired into us as humans, even from a young age. So I was round, me and Jess were round a friend's house a couple of months ago, and they have three gorgeous children. P.S. The two-year-old boy is currently my favourite. But another favourite is their little girl. So picture the scene. We're just sat around chatting in the kitchen, drinking coffee, having cake, because who doesn't like coffee and cake? And catching up with our friends. But hang on a minute, we're being summoned into the living room. It's time. The karaoke gift, the karaoke microphone, sorry, that was given as a gift is out. It's time. It's time for the performance. The next Beyonce or Taylor Swift is among us. So we all file into the living room. We take our seats and gather around. It's like a stage in the round, I guess. And honestly, the performance is fantastic. It's musical genius, some would say. Others, maybe not so much. But we reach the end of the show and the crowd goes wild. There's rounds of applause. We're saying, well done, amazing, great job. There's curtsies, there's bowing, everything full works. We're smiling, we're clapping, and we are saying, that was great, well done, amazing. You are the next Beyonce. All she wanted was that approval and for us to smile and say, well done. She was so happy. And next, I'm taken upstairs to be shown the amazing artwork that she's done. The unicorns that's been drawn and coloured in, the princesses that have beautiful pink dresses with some yellow stars on. Again, I smiled and said, "This is amazing. Well done. Great job." That's all she wanted, was my approval and for someone just to say, "Well done." Now, maybe you aren't doing karaoke every week or colouring in unicorns for other people's approval. But maybe it's in the how we dress or look. It's in our jobs, on our social media accounts, about how cool we can make our lives look. Even maybe how good of a parent we are. Or maybe it's how we want to see everyone to see how good we are at serving on this rota. I'm incredible at serving coffee on a Sunday. Or maybe it can even be in discussing our good deeds we've done this week. Maybe I'm going to go up and tell Michael over here about how amazing it was and how much of a blessing it was that I got to share my painting skills and go around and paint at Luke and Rosalind's house. We seek approval. Some of these things, the good deeds, the going around and painting someone's house, that is a good deed. But where is my heart at in that? We all seek approval. And Jesus knows this. But what does he say about it? He's really clear in this passage. And he says, the truth is, that is all the reward they will get. If we seek the approval of the crowd, of those around us, of our friends, families and colleagues, that is all we will get. And we will keep repeating this endless cycle, looking for approval from the crowds around us, and it won't stop. We'll keep seeking out approval in the next area, the thing after this. It just won't stop. But there is an alternative, and Jesus has that alternative right here in the passage, where he says this. So we're back in that verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't do things for the approval of others. Do them in secret. Do good deeds and give for God's glory, not for the approval of others, for God's glory. The Father or God knows whether it's in public or it's in private. He knows what we are doing for him. He knows our hearts. He knows our deepest motivations. But not only that, he will actually reward our giving and good deeds when done for his glory. Which it's almost like a mad thing to think about. We think we should be giving out of like just out of the goodness of our own hearts or for like altruistic nature. But no, God actually says that he's going to reward us. He isn't actually asking us to do this out of the goodness of our own hearts. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows that we are a broken people. He knows that we still seek approval. So he is saying, if we are doing it for his glory and his glory alone, he will reward us. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that is, whether it's the next iPhone or a big house, or whether if you write out a little check to the needy, and hand that in, that actually you'll find a Lamborghini on your drive the next morning. It doesn't tell us what the reward is in the scripture here. But what a reward it will be to see God's kingdom on earth. And what a reward it will be to spend eternity with him. Even though I cannot tell you exactly what the reward is this morning, I can tell you it is better than anything that this world can offer. It will be eternally better than anything that this world can offer. Now, there is that weird little analogy though. Do not let the left hand see what your right hand is doing. How on earth can you do that? Are you supposed to do it with like one hand behind your back so that your right hand can't see, or the left hand's behind your back, or whatever it might look like, or even just talking about it right now, you're thinking about your right and left hand. How can you do something with your right hand and left hand not knowing, or whatever it is? Well, we could look at it like this. So just take a second to think about something that you do so, so naturally that when you're doing it, you're not even really thinking about it. Might be just speaking, as you can tell. It comes quite naturally to me. Talking or driving, or again for me, maybe riding a bike. So when I'm riding a bike, I'm not really thinking about it. I'm not saying right foot push down, now left, now pull up with this one. I'm not, when my legs are moving, I'm not thinking about where my hands are going. I need to turn the bar here and then lift my leg here. They're not, my hands aren't talking to each other, my legs aren't talking to each other. It all comes naturally. All parts of my body are moving in unison without me even thinking about it. But I did have to learn this. I'm sure my brother and sister will be able to tell you a few stories of when we were learning to ride bikes. I fell off a few times. I have still fallen off a few times. But I have learned how to do this naturally. I can do this without even thinking about it. And this is Jesus' vision for his followers and apprentices. He wants a quiet giving and quiet good deeds done for God's glory to become second nature. Doing things only for the approval of our Father in heaven to become so natural that we don't even think about it. Doing good deeds not for the approval of others, but for the glory of the Father to be so natural we don't have to think about it. But just like riding a bike, we have to practice it. It took me time and practice riding, as I said, to do so naturally. And it is the same here as apprentices of Jesus. It takes time and practice to have the same heart as giving as God. But you might say, how could I possibly stop seeking the approval of others? You've just told me a few minutes ago that it's so deeply ingrained in us from a young age. I do actually want to glorify God, but how can I possibly do this when it's so hardwired in us to seek the approval of others? It's by remembering who we are. And that brings me to my final question this morning. Whose are you? Are we followers of Jesus? Are we his apprentices? Where are our hearts at with him? Because if we are his, if our hearts are focused on him and we are all his apprentices and we are followers of Jesus, this is what he says about us. He says we are a child of God. And not only that, we are dearly loved children of God. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are redeemed and forgiven. We are chosen. We are a friend of Jesus. We are God's workmanship made in his image. We are made alive in Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We don't need the approval of anyone but the King. And just look what he says about you. He says, "You are my child and I love you. I will redeem and forgive you. I chose you and made you in my image." Jesus gave up his life for the glory of God and for us to have a relationship with him. We don't need the approval of anyone but the King, God. So just as I come to a close now, I'm just going to invite the band back up. But I just have a challenge for us this week. Do we give? Who are we giving for? Where's your heart at? Do you truly understand whose you are? If so, and you want to make a change from that cycle of seeking approval from others and going again and seeking another set of approval from others, maybe you can just go out this week and do a good deed. Do a good deed and don't tell anyone about it. Start giving regularly to church, maybe. Cook a meal for someone. Babysit for someone in need. Or maybe just, if it's not coming to you immediately, just as we go back into this time of reflection and worship, just ask God, where is he challenging you this morning? What areas does he want to give you to give to the needy in? But don't do it for the approval of others. Don't do it so you can come along on a community group and tell everyone how blessed you've been by this thing. Again, there's a time and a place for us to share those things, and it can be great at building each other up. But why are you doing this good deed? You are doing it for the approval of God, not for others. Do it in secret. Don't tell anyone about it. Again, don't stress about, you know, trying to, you know, if someone finds out, that's okay. It's about our motivation. Where is your heart at? God will know. You are his child, and he'll be smiling down on your good works. Where is your heart this morning as a follower of Christ? Is it pointed towards him? Is it open to him? Is it open for Jesus to come into all areas of your life and transform how you live in a way that matches with this radical vision that we see in the Sermon on the Mount?
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.